Mike Malloy here. Welcome to the program. We may have the Ustream video up and running here in just a second. This is, a couple of announcements first. Brad Friedman will be sitting in for me tomorrow night. Another event at Molly's school. I wanted to tell you that so that when you tune in tomorrow night and I'm not here, you don't freak out, because I'm going to rip the skin off of somebody again tonight in the third hour. And once you hear it, the way I think it's going to go down, if I'm not here tomorrow night, you're going to go, oh, they got him. They finally got him. No, they're not going to get me. So, apparently we made the right-wing blog monkeys again, and which I think is wonderful. I just hope the right-wing blog monkeys will just continue to publicize this show. The other thing, we've added a feature for the program here that you can participate in if you are so inclined. All you have to do, just go to MikeMalloy.com, go to the main page, and there's a tab there along the tab bar on the top. That's a tab there that says Sponsor. Take a look at it. Go to MikeMalloy.com, go along the tab bar at the top, where it says Sponsor. Click it. You might be interested in what it says. Because a lot of people have asked me about this, so we decided to go ahead and give it a shot. So check it out, okay? Brad Friedman tomorrow night. Go to MikeMalloy.com tonight and check out the Sponsor tab. That could be a lot of fun. It's pretty cheap, too, just like everything on this program. Very cheap. We're a cheap program. We're very cheap. All right. It is National Furniture Sale Day. They call it Veterans Day, but you know what it means in this country. That's when all the big-name furniture stores come up with millions of dollars worth of television advertising. And leading up to the big day, and then on the big day, lots of sales for furniture. Now, before you call me a cynic, just stop and consider that if these furniture companies were really serious about celebrating Veterans Day, they would close their doors. And bring buses up to the front door and ask their employees to get on the buses to go to the nearest veteran cemetery and beg for forgiveness for sending people to die for corporate America yet again. And I say yet again because, you know, this is nothing new. I've quoted General Smedley Butler, United States Marine Corps, a couple of times, and I have a short speech here that he delivered in 1933. He was a two-time Medal of Honor winner, combat vet, went out and did the dirty work for corporate America 80, 90 years ago. Here's what he said. War is just a racket. A racket is best described, I believe, as something that is not what it seems to the majority of people. Only a small inside group knows what it is about. It is conducted for the benefit of the very few at the expense of the masses. I believe in adequate defense at the coastline and nothing else. If a nation comes over here to fight, then we'll fight. The trouble with America is that when the dollar only earns 6% over here, then it gets restless and goes overseas to get 100%. Then the flag follows the dollar, and the soldiers follow the flag. I wouldn't go to war again, as I've done, to protect some lousy investment of the bankers. There are only two things we should fight for. One is the defense of our homes, and the other is the Bill of Rights. War, for any other reason, is simply a racket. There isn't a trick in the racketeering bag that the military gang is blind to. It has its fingermen to point out enemies, its muscle men to destroy enemies, its brain men to plan war preparations, and a big boss supernationalistic capitalism. It may seem odd for me, a military man, to adopt such a comparison. Truthfulness compels me to. I spent 33 years and 4 months in active military service as a member of this country's most agile military force, the Marine Corps. I served in all commissioned ranks from second lieutenant to major general. And during that period, I spent most of my time being a high-class muscle man for big business, for Wall Street, and for the bankers. In short, I was a racketeer, a gangster for capitalism. I suspected I was just part of a racket at the time, and now I'm sure of it. Like all the members of the military profession, I never had a thought of my own until I left the service. My mental faculties remained in suspended animation while I obeyed the orders of higher-ups. This is typical with everyone in the military service. I helped make Mexico, especially Tampico, safe for American oil interests in 1914. I helped make Haiti and Cuba a decent place for the National City Bank boys to collect revenues in. I helped in the raping of half a dozen Central American republics for the benefit of Wall Street. The record of racketeering is long. I helped purify Nicaragua for the international banking house of Brown Brothers in 1909 to 1912. I brought light to the Dominican Republic for American sugar interests in 1916. In China, I helped to see to it that Standard Oil went its way unmolested. During those years, I had, as the boys in the back room would say, a swell racket. Looking back on it, I feel that I could have given Al Capone a few hints. The best he could do was to operate his racket in three districts. I operated mine on three continents. Marine Corps Major General, two-time Medal of Honor winner, Smedley Butler. War is a racket. It has been for this country since the beginning of this country. And you might even make the claim, and you would not be far off base if you did, that war is always a racket. It really is disturbing to me every Veterans Day. And this holiday is relatively new. This used to be called Armistice Day. When I was a kid, it was still called Armistice Day. The 11th hour of the 11th month, the 11th day, the end of World War I, which it was not. It was merely a setup for the beginning of World War II. But every time I see the ceremonies on television on Veterans Day, it turns my stomach. I'll bet that all those mothers and fathers and husbands and wives and kids that are sitting there watching these ceremonies would stand up and rip that flag to pieces if they could just have their dad or their mom or their brother or their uncle back. You know what I'm saying? To another time. The eyes of the world.
America, one flying monkey at a time. It's More Mike Malloy.
Okay, that was Smedley Butler before the break. If you just do a Google search for Smedley, S-M-E-D-L-E-Y, Butler, some amazing stuff comes up. And he was, for a while, he was a contemporary of Mark Twain's, Samuel Clemens. And as I mentioned on this program numerous times, in his later years, Mark Twain became pretty much, I think Twain pretty much was always an atheist, but he became a very heavy-duty anti-war proponent in the United States, to the point that the usual gangsters and bastards in this country, the grandfathers and great-grandfathers of the gangsters and bastards that run the country today. I mean, you know, this is just passed down, like the Bush family. It just passed down through the generations. But they came to question Mark Twain's loyalty to the country, all sorts of stuff. But Twain covered part of the Spanish-American War in the Philippines, and the stuff that he wrote about it was about his anti-war as you could get. Andy sent me this email. Growing up here in Georgia, I have a family that's almost exclusively Republican. I was one, too, while I was growing up, but fortunately I went to college and started reading and educated myself, and that was the end of that. My grandfather got an education of a different sort. He served with the Marines at Guadalcanal. He did what they asked him to do, and he even rose through the ranks to some extent. But to say he was proud of his participation in the good war would be a lie. He would talk about the overall experience less as he got older, but he became very outspoken in his anger over the current wars we're fighting. He hated how we're, quote, sending our boys over there to die, end quote, but he hated our killing of civilians just as much. And he hated both Bushes with a passion and saw him for what he was, a cocky, overgrown frat boy. I really enjoyed it when he would launch into one of his rants because everyone else in the family could only shut up and listen. No one else had been to war and saw what he did. The fact is, there's too many armchair generals, chicken hawks, in this society. Perhaps if we had a draft in the first decade of this century, we would have a more realistic view of war as my grandfather did. Instead, Bush and Obama have tried to isolate this war from the public as much as possible, employing private contractors, not asking us to sacrifice anything. They just wanted to go destroy a country on our dime and reap the profits. And that's what they managed to do, with a crowd endlessly chanting USA, USA in the background, carefully kept out of the realities of war. Happy Veterans Day, Andy. Well, Andy knows what I'm talking about, and I guess you do too. The incredible cowardice of the leadership in this country, and not just the political leadership, the incredible cowardice to not have the sense to never, under any circumstances, support capitalism with your body, with your blood, with your guts. That should be the prime directive for every person in this country. Don't goddamn ever go die for a monetary system that is predatory, vicious, and unfair. But the cowards that run this country, not just the political cowards, but cowards like Beck, cowards like Limbaugh, cowards like Hannity, every single one of them, a yellow streak a mile wide running up and down their backs, the slimy bastards, they promote the idea of war for someone else to go to, for someone else to go get his arms and legs shot off or half her head shot away. Cowards. Filthy, stinking cowards. If we are going to have, if we're going to indulge in mass killing and slaughter, then you miserable bastards that set the policies of this country, put in place a universal draft. Everybody goes or nobody goes. What did Dick Cheney say all those years ago? I had better things to do in the 60s than go join the military. Yeah, you did, you scum sucker. But every single one of you right-wing cowards who talk about your patriotism, you're liars. You're liars. And you don't have the strength God gave a pissant. All of you right-wingers are cowards.
Look at all we've done with the saber and a gun. Tell me, was it worth it all? For I flew the final mission in the Japanese skies, and I set off the mighty mushroom roar. When I saw their cities burning, I knew that I was learning that I ain't marching anymore. Now the labor leader's screaming when they close the missile plants. United fruit screams at the Cuban shore. Call it peace or call it treason, call it love or call it reason. But
don't go to bed angry. Let Mike Malloy do it for you.
25 before the hour. Tim from L.A. writes in regarding Veterans Day and things military. Rand Paul wants to introduce legislation now to cut spending on the military. Does that mean less weapons of mass destruction to kill women and children and men and grandparents? Or does it mean less toilet paper or meals ready to eat or less VA benefits for the troops? I guess it's safe to assume the latter. Smedley Butler was right in saying war is a racket at the expense of the lives of our veterans. Forget keeping them alive. The Republicans only honor the dead. Yeah, Kathy brought that up the other night. They like dead fetuses. They love dead soldiers. Capitalism, the one thing capitalism wants when they employ the military, they want the objective, and that is conquering some other economy so that the capitalists can move in and take it. And then they want the soldiers to all die. Because if the soldiers stay alive, then they have to be cared for. You know, the wounded ones, the ones with PTSD, the ones with lifetime emotional problems. And capitalism hates that. You know, capitalism doesn't want the residue of what they're doing to be there, so they have to deal with it. Capitalism only wants dead soldiers. That's all. And then they can, you know, they can fly the flag at half staff and have the vice president put a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown. And, you know, all this other garbage, all this other garbage. But I swear to you There is not a family out there that's sane, and I don't know how many families are sane anymore, but there's not a family out there that's sane that would not trade anything. All this pomp and circumstance, all the triangular folded flag, all the 21 gun or 5 gun or 3 gun salutes, whatever the hell it is, they would trade it all to have their son or father or brother or sister or mom back. But this is what capitalism does. Smedley Butler said it a hell of a lot better than I can. War is a racket. It's not to defend the United States. When was the last time the United States had to be defended? I mean, literally. Was it the War of 1812? And every one of these phony bastards down through, especially during the Reagan years and up to now. Well, no, we have to go back to... right after Kennedy or Eisenhower, you know, when we decided to go to Southeast Asia and start murdering people and getting our people murdered in return. These wars were never, ever, ever. And you're a goddamn fool if you are a Republican, if you believe otherwise. They were never, ever about patriotism. They were never about defending the country or protecting the Constitution. They were always about benefiting capitalism. Period. Eliminating the competition. 50 years of the so-called Cold War. What the hell do you think that was about? Huh? The Russians are coming? Jesus. It just gets me so angry. So angry. Oh, well. Joe in Temecula, California writes, regarding the debt panel, not the death panel, that was made up crap out of the minds of Sarah Palin and the rest of these vicious anti-Americans, but the debt panel, how to solve this national debt that the Republicans have given us. It started with Reagan. Clinton started to turn it around. But Reagan, two terms of Reagan, one term of Bush, two terms of Bush Jr., and now this president is struggling. You goddamn Republicans, you're the ones that did this, and you know you did. So, but play your games. I really don't care. I hope you bankrupt the country. I hope the United States, the citizens, the decent citizens in this country finally realize that you're cockroaches and it's time to step on you. I hope that happens. Joe in Temecula, California writes, Mike, I don't know about you, but I for one feel like the media is trying to sell us on the so-called debt panel and convince Americans that we need these austerity measures. I turned on the news this morning only to hear the news anchor and guest talk about how we spent a lot of money and now we must make the necessary sacrifices. They were making it sound like none of us had any choice but to accept these draconian measures. For starters, we did not spend the money. George W. Bush and conservative Republicans did. And before that, it was Reagan. I've yet to hear anyone in the television news media report the history of how we got into this mess. When Bush was appointed president by the Supreme Court in 2000, he entered office in 2001 with a budget surplus. The national debt stood at about $5.5 trillion and was scheduled to be paid off by 2010. Bush proceeded to borrow money in order to cut taxes, which in turn decreased revenue. He also decided to fight two wars on borrowed money. Republicans also passed Medicare Part D, which was not paid for either. The net result is that by the time Bush left office, we were well over $12 trillion in debt. With a $1.3 trillion budget deficit left for the next president. And for all their malfeasance, this debt panel wants to punish us by doing things like cutting Social Security, Medicare, raising the retirement age, getting rid of child tax credits, and mortgage interest deductions. How about slashing the military budget by 50%? Why do we need to have a military presence in 83 countries? See Smedley Butler. Why are we still spending billions of dollars a day on Iraq and Afghanistan? The conservative Republicans broke the government on purpose just so they could force these cuts on us. This is called breaking government, plain and simple. And when it's finally broken, it will be replaced fully by corporatism. Wake up, Americans, smell the napalm. It is morning in America again, only this time the horizon has a red glow to it. Oh, yeah, and they want to get rid of Social Security and Medicare for everyone under 40, but they still want us to keep paying for it? Perhaps Sharon Angle was right, although for the wrong reasons, that we need to look toward those Second Amendment remedies. The teabaggers threatening violence if they lost the election? Well, we on the left lost the election. Perhaps it is time now to start agitating. Joe. Yeah, I'm about fed up with it, too. I think a lot of people on the so-called left are fed up with it. You know, I've watched some of this discussion about what this crazed bastard Alan Simpson and the dork. Who's the other guy? Bowles. Is it Chester Bowles or something? Who's the other guy? The one that used to be... Clinton's chief of staff. What a gruesome twosome. You talk about an odd couple. Armistead Bowles. Well, what the hell's his name? Rupert Bowles. I don't know either. But Alan Simpson is certifiably nuts. He really is. I mean, this guy is just, he looks like he belongs on the Addams Family, somewhere tucked up in one of those, gables up there. That's what Alan Simpson looks like. But in listening to our crack media, or our media on crack in this country, having their discussions on these television talk shows like Morning Joe and the rest of these programs, Chris Matthews, who's the guy on MSNBC in the afternoon, what's his name, Duple Mackelman, or what the hell is his name? I can't think of these guys' names. I don't watch it that much. Erskine Bowles. Thank you, Michael. Erskine. That's right. Why no discussion? No discussion of the destruction caused by predatory capitalism that got us here. I mean, goddamn, nobody wants to talk about the truth. Was it liberalism that got us here? Oh, yeah, right. It was the liberals that did it. The liberals took us into two wars. The liberals destroyed the national debt. You know, up until I think I got the statistic right. Up until Ronald Reagan's presidency, the history of the entire world, the history of the United States, up until Ronald Reagan, it took that long to develop a national debt of $1 trillion. When Reagan left office, it was $4 trillion. Son of a bitch, does nobody in this country ever have the decency to talk the truth? Huh? No, they don't. So the predations of capitalism, all of it, what Wall Street or the banksters or the insurance industry, what they have done to this country is absolutely destroy it. And you dumbass right-wingers want to believe it was Acorn? Are you really that stupid? Yes, you are that stupid. But no discussion whatsoever by any of these talking heads on television about the predatory nature of capitalism that has put us right here on the edge of the abyss. And I think we ought to kick the country over. And maybe when we come out of it, if we come out of it, we can have the common sense to come up with social democracy. I say that for you teabag freaks. What I mean is democratic socialism.
Never thought I'd live to learn to love the cold earth. Never thought I'd pray to hear those temples roar. But God, I wish the grass would turn to money. And then them green bags would fill my pockets once more.
against right-wing rhetoric, get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
It's 10 before the hour. Don't forget, tomorrow night, Brad Friedman will be filling in. Bless his heart. And he always has a good show. Every time Brad Friedman fills in, I feel like I've got to come back here and do good talk radio for a change. So tune in tomorrow night. Listen to Brad. That's A. B, if you go to MikeMalloy.com, we have a up on the tab bar. There's a new tab up there. It says sponsor. Click on it, and there's something there you might want to do. Regarding Veterans Day being Furniture Day, Prairie 2 writes, the furniture that goes on sale for Veterans Day is now all made in China. The veterans are all out of work. So the furniture sales should be labeled Veterans of the Army of the People's Republic of China Sales Day. You can buy American-made furniture if you go directly to an Amish workshop. Of course, the Amish are all pacifists and aren't veterans. Yeah, I've been saying that for so damn long about how Veterans Day has been, you know, there is nothing capitalist America or corporate America won't turn into some way to make money. Do you remember Jessica Mitford's book? I read it 1,000 years ago, The American Way of Death. And it was written back in the 60s, I guess. The American Way of Death. It's all about the funeral industry. And the rituals and the ridiculousness that we get involved in the disposal of our dead in this crazed consumerist capitalist society. There is a movement now, and it's being fueled by younger people to go back to cremation, which Kathy and I both have in our final directives. Cremation. I think cremation is $750. Plus you get the urn. And a discount gasoline card that comes with it. But there's nothing that capitalism won't try to pimp. And the way capitalism and corporate America and the cowards that run everything, the corporatists, the Republicans, the right-wingers, most of whom, 99% of whom, have never served a day in their lives doing anything, much less going into the military. And the audacity of these cowardly thugs to continue to promote a foreign policy and a domestic policy that practically demands that other people go die for their business bottom line. I mean, why is this still going on? 230 some years into the existence of this country. Why is this still going on? Why? You know the answer. The answer is because we decent people, we believers in truth and justice and honor and dignity of human life, we have never said to the power structure, that's enough. That's enough. We have the potential to do that. We have the potential to do it in a number of different ways. The potential is always there. We have the potential to do it in a pacifist way and the potential to do it other ways, not so pacifist. But you see, we have a whole subset of citizens in this country, and damn them, mostly white, about 80% male, maybe 20% female, who fancy themselves to be some kind of cowboy patriots. They don't like Negroes, they don't like Jews, they don't like gays, they don't like anybody except the people who look and think like them, which is to say like cockroaches. And for some reason, we have allowed these scum to run the country. And what happened on November 2nd, Election Day, I mean, it's astonishing. It's astonishing. Decent people have checked out. Decent people have said, nah, screw this. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not voting for these swine anymore. I don't care who the swine are. They're all swine. I'm not doing it. And as a result, just remember, that's okay. That's okay. I did vote, which seems pretty hypocritical because, you know, I've often said on this program, what the hell's the difference? Especially here in Georgia where we have Diebold machines. I mean, it's just a goddamn joke. It is a joke. But why have we allowed it to be a joke? Why have we allowed, and this is a question I ask myself every day, at least once, why have I allowed the very essential system of democracy, voting, not voting, counting the votes, why have I allowed that to be turned over to a capitalist organization called Diebold or ISS or ESS, all these companies now that handle on a on a private enterprise capitalist basis the essential element of democracy, voting, counting the votes, not voting, counting the votes. Nobody can force you to go vote, but once you vote, they can decide who's going to win and who's going to lose. Why have we allowed that? Why do we continue to send people to go die for capitalism? And then call them heroes when they come home. Are they heroes because they go die for capitalist pigs who use and abuse the whole idea of patriotism? Are they? Stick around. We'll be back. It is 7 past the hour. I don't know how often you go to Huffington Post. I go there quite a bit. I think it's a good website. It's getting better. So I went there today, and I see this. White House gives in on Bush tax cuts. Now, the other day I saw something that said John Boehner says no compromise on the Bush tax cuts. This is written by Sam Stein and Howard Feynman. President Barack Obama's top advisor suggested to the Huffington Post late yesterday that this administration is ready to accept an across-the-board temporary continuation of steep Bush-era tax cuts, including those for the wealthiest taxpayers. David Axelrod, the president's advisor, said that appears to be the only way that middle-class taxpayers can keep their tax cuts, given the legislative and political realities facing Obama in the aftermath of last week's electoral defeat. Axelrod said during an unusually candid 90-minute interview in his office. Quote, we have to deal with the world as we find it. The world of what it takes to get this done. There are concerns, he added, that Congress will continue to kick the can down the road in the future by passing temporary extensions for the wealthy time and time again. But, he said, I don't want to trade away any security for the middle class in order to make that point. Well, okay, and the bankruptcy continues. You know, it's just a joke on the entire country, these filthy Republicans and these cowardly Democrats. I hate Republicans because they're cowards and liars. I hate Democrats because they're cowards and have absolutely no sense of morality or justice. They are completely or ethics. They've completely sold out to the pimps and bastards that make up Republicans. As Feynman and Sam Stein wrote, time is not on the administration's side. All of the tax cuts enacted in 2001 and 2003 will expire at the end of this year unless Congress acts. The Republicans, in effect, Axelrod said, built in tax increases. And separating different categories of tax cuts now, extending some without extending others, is politically unrealistic and procedurally difficult. Axelrod added. He went on to say, we don't want that tax increase to go forward for the middle class, but plainly what we can't do is permanently extend these high income taxes. In other words, the White House won't risk being blamed for raising taxes on the middle class, even though arguably it is the Republicans' refusal to separate the categories that has put Obama in this bind. The only condition seems to be that the tax cuts for the wealthy will not be extended permanently. Oh, please. A student of history and a one-time political reporter, Axelrod expressed curiosity and even some optimism about the Tea Party, suggesting that Obama could work with them on matters such as a ban on spending earmarks and on winding down the war in Afghanistan. If so, Feynman writes, if so, Obama would turn the Clinton-era triangulation strategy on its head, reaching out not to the moderates in the other party, but to this new breed of conservatives who could bring the ideological arc of Congress full circle. Can the White House work with them? Axelrod said, quote, it is a fascinating time in our history, and I don't think anybody really knows. I mean, I've watched carefully some of these folks on television. I don't think this is nearly as predictable as people think, end quote. President Obama, in fact, according to Feynman, has called every new Republican senator-elect and many of the incoming Republican House members, well over 100 calls in all, said Axelrod. That's how a shellacked president spends his plane time on a trip to Asia. You see, I'm sure you do. The thing about capitalism, it is A, unrelenting, and it will not compromise. It will come into your country, it will kill your people, your babies, your children. It will destroy your cultural traditions. It will take over your natural resources. When it's done doing that, it'll come back home. Capitalism will. It will export the jobs back here. It will turn the working class in this country that liberals, only liberals, built the middle class. Conservatives have never done a goddamn thing. Nothing to build the middle class. It's always been liberals. Capitalism comes back home and continues its ripping and tearing, its violations, its predatory nature, so that always, always and forever, the top 1% or 2% will be the ones that make the money, the ones that have a decent life. And I can't get my mind around the fact that we Americans allow this to happen. 98% of the country is not included in all this good stuff. And of that 98%, it's my understanding that 60 or 70% are now Republican or conservative. What is wrong with you dumbasses? What is wrong with you? Why do you find it comfortable, you right-wingers, you Republicans, you teabag freaks? Why do you find it comfortable to condemn yourself and your children and your grandchildren to a threadbare existence? Why do you do that? Why is that good for you? When the teabag, not the teabag, but the capitalist top 2 or 3% will continue to gouge out your goddamn heart, your children's heart. You're not going to be able to educate your kids. You're not going to be able to travel. You're not going to be able to do a damn thing. Why do you people, you conservatives, not understand your own history? Every single thing that's ever been done to build a middle class has been done by liberals. Everything. Everything from the GI Bill to women's right to vote, to equal pay, to FHA loans, to FDIC to guarantee your money in a bank. Everything has been done by liberals. Everything. Every single thing. Now, I can sit here all night and call you dumb bastards, which you are, but I don't understand why you won't take the time to understand your own history, the history of this country, what liberals have done, what Democrats, what liberals have done to give you a decent life. And now you're just pissing all over it? What is your objective? Is it to demolish the black man in the White House? That's it, isn't it? You racist thugs. That's what it is. None of you, not one of you, on television, on talk shows, on this program, not one of you has ever coherently stated what it is that you are promoting and your ilk are promoting that is good for this country. Not once. All you miserable, whiny bastards have said, oh, tax cuts, tax, it's my money, it's my money. Tax cuts. I don't like the black guy in the White House. Why don't you be honest? No. You can't. Well, if you think you 60% of the 98%, if you think that this destruction's not going to touch you and whip your ass into bloody tatters, I hope I can be around to hear your screams.
The quality of mercy is not
victims and heroes.
The quality of mercy is not
murderers and martyrs. The quality of mercy is not surrender.
Soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
A couple of emails from veterans here. The amazing thing to me is that after more than 60 years of outright lies, subterfuge, and backroom deals that have put the Treasury in near default and spilled the blood of millions worldwide, the public still accepts what the government says and responds to the call to sacrifice in the name of defense. And because of the most cynical manipulation of the concept of patriotism, while the true reasons for and the nature of war is hidden by secrecy. If the public knew even half of what their government has done in their names, or what has been kept from them by the massive machinery of the national security state, they'd hang them all and not give it a second thought. Said as a veteran who used my GI Bill to educate myself about our true nature. Smedley Butler was right. Michael in Roswell. And then this from Ron in PA. A tri-folded flag, 21 guns, a few medals for 23 years. Mike, my 8-year-old's school wanted vets to show up today for the students to talk about their military experience. A friend of mine, who is also a veteran and whose son goes to the same school, said they asked him to come too a couple of times. He said that they must have been hard-pressed to get people to show up. Can't get them to wave the flag, it seems, once the red stripes turn into bloody bandages. Anyway, my wife, despite the protestations of my son, said no about my showing up. She knows me all too well. So I guess the schools are doing their job mentally preparing our children to be cannon fodder. Makes me proud to be an American. Yeah, buddy. This friend of mine also lamented how our kids are indoctrinated to see war as this manly thing, or they get all hopped up on first-person shooter games and are conditioned to operate under the illusion that they will somehow be spared death if they land in a firefight. But a bullet has no conscience. A bullet has no consciousness, even as, quote, the girls love to see you shoot, end quote, right? Last, when I think of Veterans Day, I think of my cousin Donnie Bailey. I was 13 when he came home paralyzed from the neck down. He was shot by a sniper while he was at Gwangnam Province. He was 23. I began puberty watching my cousin suffer for a little less than a year before he finally decided to stop. The VA had given him a motorized wheelchair with mouth control to get around. That helped some, but for the most part, he was bedridden. That's what I think about during Veterans Day. And all the fake patriotic BS just pisses me off. Because I can't help but feel he died for no damn reason. Especially since we now know the Gulf of Tonkin incident was a hoax. And then Ron sends me the personal military and casualty data for Ronald Gerald Bailey, his cousin. Date of birth, USMC, grade when he was shot, E4, rank corporal, rifleman, L Company, 3rd Battalion, 7th Marines, 1st Marine Division. Started his tour June 16, 1969. He was shot August 28, 1969. He died January 11, 1972. Age at loss, 23. On the wall, panel O2W, line 103. Does anybody remember why we were in Vietnam? Do you know how many American corporations now have factories in Vietnam? Especially clothing companies. You probably have something in your closet right now. If you bought anything in the past 2 years, you probably have something in your closet made in Vietnam. Does that mean anything to you? We'll be right back.
And where have you been, my darling young one? I've stumbled on the side of 12 misty mountains. I've walked and I crawled on six crooked highways. I've stepped in the middle of seven sad forests. I've been out in front of a dozen dead oceans. I've been 10,000 miles in the mouth of a graveyard. And it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard rain's gonna fall.
Gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour, the Obama administration has decided to, according to McClatchy newspapers, the McClatchy Washington Bureau, Obama has decided to begin publicly walking away from what it once touted as a key deadline in the war in Afghanistan. This in an effort to de-emphasize Obama's pledge that he would begin withdrawing U.S. forces in July of next year, 2011. This is according to administration and military officials who have spoken with McClatchy off the record and anonymously. The new policy, according to McClatchy newspapers, the new policy will be on display next week during a conference of NATO countries in Lisbon, Portugal, where the administration hopes to introduce a timeline that calls for the withdrawal of U.S. and NATO forces from Afghanistan by 2014. That's the year when Afghan President Hamid Karzai once said Afghan troops could provide their own security. This is according to three senior Obama administration officials. And military officials who all told the same thing to McClatchy, along with others speaking anonymously as a matter of policy. The Pentagon also has decided not to announce specific dates for handing security responsibility for several Afghan provinces to local officials. And the Pentagon instead intends to work out a more vague definition of transition when it meets with its NATO allies. What a year ago had been touted as an extensive December review of the strategy now also will be less expansive and will offer no major changes in strategy, according to these officials. So far, the U.S. Central Command, the military division that oversees Afghanistan operations, has not submitted any kind of withdrawal order for forces for the July deadline, two of those officials told McClatchy. Who's running the country? We live in a national security state, truth seeker. We are manipulated by, on the one hand, the capitalists who don't care what happens to this country as long as they make their money. On the other hand, the very clack of murderous bastards that Eisenhower warned us about. The military-industrial complex. Only that has morphed into the national security state. What Eisenhower referred to as the military-industrial complex is a term that sounds very quaint to these parasites, these murderers. It's now the national security state. That's where you live, by the way. That's where I live. The shift in this deception, as according to McClatchy, has begun privately. And it came in part because U.S. officials realized the conditions in Afghanistan were unlikely to allow a speedy withdrawal. What does that mean, huh? Anybody who wants to bug out can bug out. Further into this report from McClatchy, it says, last week's midterm elections also have eased pressure on the Obama administration to begin an early withdrawal. You see, earlier this year, some Democrats in Congress pressed to cut off funding for Afghanistan operations. Ooh, bad Democrats. Bad, 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 bad. But with Republicans in control of the House of Representatives beginning in January, there'll be less push for a withdrawal or for a drawdown. No, good Republicans. Good, 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 good. The incoming House Armed Services Chairman, Representative Howard Buck McCowan, a Republican in California, told Reuters news agency last week that he opposed setting the date. The White House vehemently denies that there is any change in policy. But Tommy Vitor, who in the hell is he? A White House spokesman said, quote, "The president has been crystal clear that we will begin drawing down troops in July of 2011. There's absolutely no change in that policy." Now get out of here. Well, we'll soon see, won't we? So, tax cuts for the rich will continue indefinitely, which means the national debt will go up by another $700 billion, almost $1 trillion. That's just for openers, which means more control of our economy, our monetary system by the Chinese, which means a further weakening of the United States. But the Republicans are happy as pigs in slop, aren't they? Aren't these Republicans the people who voted these monsters into office? Aren't you all just happy as hell? Huh? Why don't you send me an email if you can get someone to type it for you or put the sentences together and tell me what good you think is to come from your vote and millions like you? Huh? What good thing is going to happen now? Well, we're going to get rid of that debt. We're in debt. Tom in Joshua Tree, California writes, "Mike, I share in your stunned sense of disbelief when it comes to figuring out the heartless and mindless will of a defunct people living in a defunct society. Are the Democrats really saying that it's okay to let the rich off in order to secure the tax relief of the middle class and the poor? It is insanity on such a massive scale of impossible ignorance and lies that it defies credibility. Before Reagan, corporate taxes paid for 40% of the government. Now it pays 6%. To keep the taxes down on the super rich is to raise taxes on everyone else because it takes more personal money to survive. Education, health, the added steps needed to breathe clean air or drink clean water, the price of all the wars and occupation, the price of fuel, heat, energy, food, the security state, all this cost is passed on to the taxpayer, not in taxes, but in the cost of living. $3 a gallon for gas seriously impacts a working family, but means nothing to the rich. While the poor pinch pennies, the rich pinch the poor. And unfortunately, the poor beg for more. What's even worth saving in a society that seeks out slavery?" Well, actually, Tom, I know your question was rhetorical, but the answer is nothing. There's nothing worth saving in that kind of a society. Absolutely nothing. And nobody is working to save this society. Nobody. A few people talking about this catastrophe, this crisis. But most of us who are talking about it are utterly and absolutely powerless. Really, we really, really are. From the Oracle. No, not that Oracle. "I've heard that Representative Issa, Republican of California, is going to conduct nonstop investigations into President Obama starting in January in an attempt by culture of corruption Republicans to derail Obama's chances of winning a second four-year term as president. If Representative Issa and Republicans pull the stunt, President Obama should tell Republicans that he will instruct Attorney General Eric Holder to call for federal grand juries to uncover all the high crimes and misdemeanors committed by his Republican predecessors, George Bush and Dick Cheney. Prosecuting and convicting them were required by federal law and the U.S. Constitution. Also, he can threaten Republicans with finally releasing the CIA's after-incident damage assessment report that was necessary after covert CIA agent Valerie Plame top-secret cover was blown. Yes, there was definitely a CIA investigation done into what damage was done to our national security. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. This is some website, the Oracle. So what this person is suggesting, I'm sure he's suggesting it in good faith, that Obama should try a tit-for-tat thing with the Republicans. If you investigate me, I'm going to turn loose my attorney general. The Oracle apparently doesn't understand that this administration and Eric Holder and Barack Obama are no more interested in punishing anybody for anything than they are interested in pissing up a rope. They're just not going to do it. Well, who is this Oracle person? Obviously a blogger someplace, I guess, who thinks of himself as a progressive or a liberal. And I'm not busting up on the Oracle based on how he considers himself. I find it absolutely mind scrambling, though, that anybody anywhere on any blog left, on the web, can write that Obama should stand up to the Republicans when all Obama does is fold and fold and fold. You know, it's one thing to fold to your superiors, but to fold to a room full of cockroaches is beyond comprehension to me. Just beyond comprehension.
Here.
10 before the hour. Stick around after the break at the top of the hour. I'm going to baptize Sarah Palin. And I want all of you you right-wing bloggers who capture so much of my stuff and then put it out there for consumption by your brain-dead. Keep doing that. Oh, my God. Please keep doing that. Because if I just, and I know this will happen, convert one or two of these poor misbegotten, misguided freaks, it'll all be worth it. So get your little recording devices ready and your digital things, because coming up next hour, Sarah Palin will be closely examined. I'm going to examine her closer than her gynecologist does next hour. So stick around for that. Regarding Shimkus, he's the congressman from Illinois, who said that global warming is a hoax, and he's going to make sure that nobody falls for that crap because God told Noah in the book of Genesis that he, God, would never destroy the earth with floods. Regarding that, DVD writes, Mike, I listened to last night's broadcast and was very entertained as usual. I wanted to let you know that John Shimkus's opposition to cap and trade, or whatever these right-wing idiots call it, is just as likely motivated by the fact that his district is home to a large U.S. steel corporation facility, and it is motivated by his alleged faith in God's promise to Noah to never again savage the planet with divine wrath. His district is also home to Olin Brass, a manufacturer of ammunition. ConAgra and Archer Daniels Midland also have facilities in his neck of the woods. It's no surprise that he rejects any legislation that would place additional tax burdens on his corporate butt buddies. It's amusing, though, that he resorts to that religious conviction nonsense. His neck of the woods is basically suburban St. Louis on the Illinois side of the river. Not at all an area where a politician has to be a Jesus freak to get elected. Who knows? Maybe he's just an incorrigible a-hole like the rest of those right-wing retards he no doubt plays golf with whenever he gets a chance. And by the way, when do we get to start cracking some skulls? Just kidding. DVD. Well, I'm afraid that that's a good possibility that at some point skull cracking might be necessary, you know, to survive, to eat. I'm talking about skull cracking of animals that you go out and shoot in the forest, right? Representative Peter King, another Republican freak from New York, the man who is likely to become next chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee, recently defended former President George Bush's admission in his book that he authorized torture. King said yesterday, referring to the torture of alleged 9/11 mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, quote, "There was no harm done in the big picture. To hold someone's head underwater, the chance of permanent damage is minimal and the rewards are great." End quote. That's a quote from a member of Congress who is going to head the House Homeland Security Committee. No harm done in the big picture to hold someone's head underwater. See, this stupid son of a bitch, this Peter King, apparently, he's another one. None of these right-wingers understand any history of the United States or our involvement in other countries. We hanged members of the Japanese, not the high command, but below the high command. We hanged some of their middle commanders after World War II and the trials in Tokyo. We hanged them for using controlled drowning, which these dumb bastards refer to as waterboarding. We hanged them. Either we should freely and openly admit that we're hypocrites, or we should hang George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and John Yoo and Bybee, the guy who's now a federal judge. Jesus Christ. And Alberto Gonzalez. To not hang them by their necks until dead is to declare that this country committed some kind of unnecessary murder against Japanese officers when we held them responsible for what Bush now claims he authorized. And Cheney went out of his way to go watch. And Bybee and you and Gonzalez and the rest of these bastards wrote the get out of jail free pass, or so they think they did, for these war criminals. It's amazing. We have war criminals running the country. I'm not talking about Obama. Jesus, God. I'm talking about where the real power is. War criminals. According to what I'm reading here, I don't know where I got it. There has been a fair amount of buzz from both sides of the aisle lately about potentially seeking legal avenues to investigate the Bush administration's green lighting of the controversial practice. Representative Jason Chaffetz, a Republican in Utah, suggested Tuesday that he might even be open to efforts to probe the prior sanctioning of torture. Ooh, really? Representative Gerald Nadler, Democrat in New York, on Tuesday called more directly for investigations to pursue, quote, full accountability for the criminal use of torture, end quote. Representative Peter King, however, entirely disagreed with this mission. King told Politico, that's where I got this quote, "Jerry and I are friends, but he's entirely wrong on this. There would have been lives lost, and Bush deserves credit for what he did," end quote. And not just credit. Peter King says the former commander-in-chief, George Bush, should get a medal. Happy furniture sale day. We'll be back after the break at the top of the hour. Stay with us if you dare. I'm Mike Malloy. I've got a little crazy stuff here, like I do most nights. Of course, according to the cockroaches, the entire program is crazy. But that's all right. You know, a cockroach is a cockroach is a cockroach. Lou Dobbs, remember him? The guy who railed against illegal immigrants but has no problem allowing contractors to come on his property to do things to spruce up his multi-million dollar mansion with, yeah, illegal immigrants. Anyway, when CNN dumped his ass, it was just a matter of time before he would go to work for Fox. And there he is. He is going to join the Fox Business Network. Yeah, that's it. Have you ever watched that? Oh, my God. The network said yesterday that Dobbs will host a new daily program start the first 3 months of the year. He'll also provide analysis and commentary on business news throughout the network's day. I bet he will. How's he going to put a cork in his mouth? I was going to say something else, but I better not. To stop him from railing against what he calls illegal immigrants. Huh? You know, those undocumented workers sans papers, the WAPs, you know, without papers. You know he's going to drift into that, right? You know he is. He's just Lou Dobbs. He started out in the last decade from a business program. He had the Moneyline show. Actually, he spent more than 25 years at CNN. Do I remember him? Yeah, no. I think I was gone from CNN by the time he got there. But he spent about 25 years there. He had a show in the 90s called Moneyline. And then it changed to the Lou Dobbs show. And he got into opinionated general news program rather than business news. You know, opinionated general news, like Oberman does, like the entire Murdoch operation does over at that other dunghole. But CNN requested that he get off their property about a year ago for a number of reasons, not the least of which he's just a pompous, ridiculous ass. So now he's going to go to work for Fox News Channel. It'll be a perfect, Fox Business Network. It'll be a perfect fit. You go, Lou. You go, Lou. Another typical, hypocritical, right-wing, Republican, teabag cockroach, Lou Dobbs. The state of Washington yesterday became the second state that has now banned energy drinks. I like when they say energy drinks. And the press picks this up. These are not energy drinks. Energy drinks that can combine alcohol and caffeine. Michigan has banned them. Several other states have moved to restrict sales of these things. It's a fruit-flavored malt beverage that has an alcohol content of 12%, and now they've added caffeine. I mean, this is insane, but this is how capitalism works. Find yourself a market, teenagers, okay? Now, screw them up as badly as you can. Come up with something that combines alcohol and caffeine.
Yeah, but Mike, teenagers aren't supposed to drink.
Oh, I see. Okay. The latest ban, it was enacted by the Washington State Liquor Control Board, follows the one in Michigan, like I mentioned. In New York, Senator Charles Schumer called on the state liquor authority to halt sales of these things, describing them as a toxic and dangerous brew, sickening young people around the country. That's true. All sorts of students and others who have drunk these things have wound up in hospitals. There's one called Four Loco, other beverages that blend caffeine and alcohol. It's really getting college officials upset. But we need Sarah Palin here, and we'll get Sarah Palin in a second. Doctors say the drinks are dangerous because the caffeine masks the effects of the alcohol, keeping those who consume them from realizing just how intoxicated they are. But that's the wonders, the brilliance of capitalism. The brilliance, the absolute goddamn brilliance of capitalism. What do you want to bet that the people who are doing this are Christian too, huh? What do you want to bet? And Republicans, and believe the government should stay out of their business, right? But this is how it works. Figure out something that is poisonous and toxic, but might give somebody a temporary buzz, and then go ahead and sell it to them. And continue to sell it. And keep selling it. Even when your target market starts winding up in emergency rooms. In a statement released Wednesday, Fusion Projects, the five-year-old Chicago company that makes this sewage called Four Loko, said it was the company said... The company said, here's what the company said. See, the company is just a bunch of papers in a lawyer's office. Somebody at the company said that Fusion Projects, the five-year-old Chicago company that makes Four Loko, was disappointed by calls to ban the drink. They added it was safe. The statement said, quote, "We want to open a dialogue to discuss specific concerns and try to reach solutions. When consumed responsibly, our products are just as safe as any other alcoholic beverage." Okay. First of all, how many lies are in that? We want to open a dialogue. No, you don't. You don't want to open a dialogue at all. To discuss. No, you don't want to discuss. You want to dictate. Specific concerns, try to reach solutions. No, you don't. The only solution you would try to reach would continue to market your poison. The statement said, when consumed responsibly, our products are just as safe as any other alcoholic beverage. That's a lie. Other alcoholic beverages do not combine alcohol and caffeine. Another example of cockroach mentality. There it is. Huh? Now, this company came under particular scrutiny after students who drank it this fall at a college in New Jersey and at Central Washington University in Ellenburg, Washington, end up in emergency rooms, some with high levels of alcohol poisoning. Both of these universities, one in New Jersey and one in Washington State, banned the drink on their campuses. And others are warning students not to drink it. And at the urging of 18 state attorneys general, the Food and Drug Administration, which has never approved adding caffeine to alcohol, is reviewing whether the drinks are safe. Oh, my God. Well, let's see here. Is this safe? Alcohol and caffeine. The target market for this slop are late teenagers and early 20s, you know, students. Get them drunk. Get them buzzed up. Get them involved in this product. Tell them how much fun it is, huh? Okay, that's one. Here's two. The federal drug regulators yesterday released 36 proposed warning labels for cigarette packages. The one I like the best is the one that shows a toe tag on a corpse. That's a good one. And another in which a mother is blowing smoke on her baby. When you've been out and about, how many times have you seen that? Some psycho, goddamn, irresponsible parent, right? Walking around carrying a toddler or a baby or pushing one in a carriage with a cigarette dangling out of her mouth and smoke coming up, right? How many times have you said, don't you want to just go up and take it out of her hand and just say to her, are you out of your goddamn mind? You are an addict. Get help. But for Christ's sake, stop blowing this stuff in your child's face. Don't you want to do that? I always do. And I never do. I just look. I stare. I give the evil eye, hoping that the woman will catch, or a man, will catch my glare. But even when they do, I just get a return glare. Of course. I mean, when you're an addict, and that's why this plan, while I completely agree with it, might not work. I'll tell you why in a second. Stay with us.
Some people say alcohol makes you less lucid, and I think that's true if you're kind of stupid. I'm not that kind that gets himself burned twice. Some say liquor kills the cells in your head, and for that matter, so does getting out of bed. When I exit, I'll go out gracefully, shot in my hand. The pow, 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 power of positive drinking.
Cleaning up America one flying monkey at a time. It's More Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. So this law was passed last year, overwhelmingly by both the House and the Senate. One of the few that the cockroach Republicans decided to act like legislators about. The law gave the FDA the right to not to ban tobacco, but the right to regulate tobacco, and the design of the cigarettes, the packages. Now, these new warning labels for cigarettes are designed to cover half the surface area of a pack or carton of cigarettes. And according to the Times, a fifth of any advertisements for them, like, you know, billboards and magazines, so on and so forth, the labels are intended to try to get smokers to quit by providing graphic reminders of tobacco's dangers. So the FDA now has the power to regulate but not ban tobacco products for the first time. I can remember years ago when I still smoked. I was in Canada. I was in Windsor, outside of Windsor one time, and went into a drugstore to buy a pack of cigarettes, which I always thought was kind of appropriate. You know, you can go to a drugstore to buy cigarettes, and you'll be back when you buy the medications you need to ease the pain of the treatment you're getting for lung cancer. But anyway, when I was smoking, I bought a pack of cigarettes in Canada and looked at the package when I walked out. It was just a popular brand. I forget which one. Looked at the back of the package. There's a picture of a diseased lung in full color. It was horrible. Just black, rotting flesh, a human lung. So apparently Canada, once again, has proved themselves to be so much more willing to be honest with people about products. I've never understood why tobacco products are not completely banned. Absolutely, utterly. You know, 500,000 people a year die from cigarette smoking, and you can go to jail. You can go to prison for decades for selling marijuana. Go figure. But anyway, the public health officials in this country are hoping that these new labels will shove a sharp stick up the butt of the nation's anti-smoking efforts, which have stalled in recent years. About 45, 46, 47 million people still smoke. And about 20% of high school students, that's about 3.5 million kids, are smokers. When I see a kid smoking a cigarette, I really do get just a terrible feeling, Because I know the odds of what's going to happen to that child. It's awful. Anyway, according to the research, every day about 1,000 children and teenagers become regular smoker. And remember, about 500,000 people die every year from smoking-related health problems. The cost to treat the health problems run about $100 billion a year. We always got to put a dollar value on it, right? You ask ask someone who watches a family member die of lung cancer, as I did, if you know what kind of value is there on that person's life, and I don't think money would enter into it. The answer would be, I mean, even the cockroaches, even the right-wingers out there, the teabaggers, certainly, with one exception, I'll get to her in a minute, certainly understand the pain of watching, the emotional pain of watching someone that you love and care about in your family slowly die, choke to death, because they can't break their addiction. And it's horrifying when you stop and think that almost every single Republican sponsors and votes in favor of farm subsidies to keep the tobacco industry going. And not only that, the federal government, I guess they still do, provides allotments. You can grow this much tobacco because we realize it's so highly profitable and we're trying to control the taxing of it, and so on and so forth. It's poison. It's death. When the early explorers to this country, the white people, went back to Europe with this weed, this product, this leaf that they had found indigenous people were using in ceremonies, a couple of members of royalty in European countries tried to ban this stuff right away. Because it was so noxious and poisonous. But that was then. This is now. And the tobacco industry continues their merry way of murdering as many more Americans. The tobacco industry murders more Americans in a year, pretty much, than we have ever lost in any war. Every single year. The tobacco industry does this. Now, if you smoke, smoke. I mean, it's your, I smoked for 40 years. I probably have lung cancer and just haven't had it diagnosed yet. That's what all the cockroaches are hoping. I get letters from people who say, you rotten son of a bitch, we hope you die and your six-year-old has to watch you die. You know, that kind of stuff. Well, they may be right. Maybe I do have it. But that's why I am so much of an advocate about people not starting. And if you are a smoker, for Christ's sake, stop. But there's more of this and more. I'm sorry. I don't mean to get up on the soapbox here. That's not my intent. If you want to smoke, smoke. We'll be right back. I ain't hurting no one.
There's 300 men in the state of Tennessee. They're waiting to die. They won't never be free. I ain't hurting nobody. I ain't hurting.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malone.
Yeah, I think I have. 25 before the hour. Okay, the FDA unveils these graphic warning labels for cigarette packs. According to the law that was passed about a year ago, this is not to go into effect on cigarette label packages until 2012. But anyway, the pictures, you've probably seen them online, the graphics that are going to be put on these cigarette packages are really effective in getting your attention. As far as getting people to stop smoking, I don't think so. Because, using myself as another example, when I bought those cigarettes in Canada, in Windsor, I looked at the label, thought, oh my God, you know, for the people that get lung cancer, this is horrible, and lit one up. You know, because you don't, what is it, 1 in 10 cigarette smokers get lung cancer, but 9 in 10 lung cancer patients were smokers, something like that, I don't know. So I don't think it's necessarily going to work for addicts, because they're talking about addiction here. This is something that the tobacco industry would never acknowledge until recently, that nicotine is more addictive than heroin. It hits parts of your brain that respond much more positively to a continued hit than heroin, cocaine, any of it. So what we're talking about here is massive, almost undefeatable addiction. It is difficult. It is so difficult once you are hooked to unhook from cigarettes. Now, I'm speaking about the majority of people. A lot of people can just say, well, that's it. I've had enough cigarettes, and stop. And they're finished. That's it. The end of it. Good for you. But a lot of us who smoked for a number of years, trying to break the habit is almost like trying to stop breathing or, you know, something else that has become a real habit, so to speak. So anyway, labels on cigarette packs that just point out the reality of smoking. Bad idea? I think anything to try to get people to realize what they're doing is not a bad idea. The cockroaches would disagree with that. So what we have here are a second state to ban energy drinks that combine alcohol and caffeine. Ooh, wait a minute. Isn't that a nanny state thing? Now we have the FDA unveils these proposed graphic warnings for cigarette packs. Ooh, isn't that a nanny state thing? Huh? Aren't I an American any longer? Don't I have a right to drink alcohol and caffeine and cigarettes? Sure you do. Got an email from RPC who writes, like the new cigarette warning labels, there should be visual warnings on the Republican Party. Just replace smoking with Republicans, lung disease with poverty, and you have the cure for what's the matter with Kansas, self-harming voting tendencies. Vote Republican and pictures of families thrown out of foreclosed homes or massive lines of sick and uninsured or injured people seeking help at healthcare fairs, urban blight, deserted factories, huge throngs of people massing at businesses, hiring just a few, soup kitchen lines, overcrowded homeless camps and shelters. When you vote Republican, that should pop up on the screen. Everybody knows smoking will kill you in all sorts of different ways, but seeing it makes a big difference. Same with Republicans. Only the secondhand smoke effect is much, much worse. You might not vote Republican, but you have to suffer through what the cockroaches are doing, right? Okay. Now enter into this the hoe from Wasilla. You know, I'm wondering how much it will take. I'm sure Hugh Hefner's already come up with the idea to get a spread, and you can take that any way you want, of Sarah Palin in Playboy. Sarah Palin is no more of a leader than I'm the Pope. What Sarah Palin is an old-style carnival hustler. That's all. Hiya, hiya, step right up. She is selling garbage, and we're Americans, and Americans buy garbage. We buy cigarettes. We buy caffeinated alcoholic drinks. We buy McDonald's food. We'll buy anything if it's sold to us properly. Sarah Palin has been sold to us properly. So she is a commodity, and she has figured out how to turn her commodity effect into money in her pocket. She's a quitter. She's a liar. She's a typical American, right? I'm the governor of Alaska. Oh, no. Goodbye. I'm out of here. I'm going to become a, how will I label it? I'm going to work on the outside to save America. Just give me the goddamn money. Sarah Palin is a hustler. She is strictly a hustler. And I wonder how long before Hustler magazine offers her or Hugh Hefner. Somebody is, I'm sure it's already gone out. I just wonder when she's going to say $5 million. Oh, be serious. Make it $10 million and I'll show you something you've never seen before. My, you know, me. Can you imagine an issue of Playboy? It would get a lot of advanced publicity. 2-3 months before it hit the stands, Hefner would turn loose his marketing machine. Sarah Palin, as you've never seen her. Every single Republican male in the country would buy that issue. Jack up the price, pardon the expression, to about $5.95 a copy. What does Playboy cost now, Kathy? Do you have any idea? I don't either. But whatever the newsstand price is right now, double it. If it's $8 a copy, make it $16. And then have on the cover one of those titillating, you'll pardon the expression, pictures of the nude person that's going to be on the inside. I have Sarah Palin on the front with holding a rifle and maybe a dead moose head and more skin than you probably, if you're a normal person, would want to see from Sarah Palin. But there she is on the cover. And then tout it, put a banner across the cover that says 18-page spread. Do you know how many of those copies would be sold? 20 million? 30 million? At $10 a pop? What is that? $300 million? Come on, Hugh! Do it! Come on, Larry! Larry Flint! Do it! Sarah Palin has a price. It's just negotiating it. Getting to it. Go. Do it. Anyway, until that happens, Sarah Palin gets it wrong again. She shows up at a school in Pennsylvania and brings a whole bunch of gooey, crappy, sugar-infested cookies. Why? Sarah Palin, she told a cheering crowd, "Who should be deciding what I eat? Should it be government or should it be parents? It should be parents." What happened was, there is an effort. If you've been in a cave for the past couple of years, you know that we are suffering an epidemic of obesity in this country. We're trying to make an effort to keep our kids from doing what we've done, which is this gross self-indulgence. There's been no limits here. Let me pleasure myself. How are you going to do that? With cookies! With sweets! With junk! Oh, give me a quarter pounder! So an effort is being made by doctors, physicians, nutritionists. Well, a doctor is a physician, Mike. Oh, okay. Doctors, nutritionists, psychologists. Even some non-right-wing Christian religious leaders are trying to get. We've got to stop this. All the diseases that come from obesity. Enter Sarah Palin. For Christ's sake, who's supposed to tell your kid what he's supposed to eat? The state of Pennsylvania is becoming an anti-nanny state. They're telling you, well, Pennsylvania school officials said that Palin's characterization of the issue as a cookie ban is dead wrong. Of course it is. She's a dumbass. She belongs on the cover of Playboy. She belongs a huge color spread inside. That'll end everything. She can walk away with her 15 million or 10 million and get the hell out of the collective consciousness of all these horny, Viagra-laden Republican males who just want to see it. They're the same Republican males who wanted to see Bill Clinton's penis. Now they want to see Sarah Palin's vagina. Give it to us, Hugh, please. Come on, Playboy. Oh, my God, that's the only reason we go to these rallies. You know this is true. You know it. You know it. Whether you're man or woman, Democrat or Republican, Jew, Gentile, left, right, up, down, inside, out, you know that every single Republican, and probably a bunch of blue dog Democrats, want to see it. Come on, Sarah! Show it to us! Well, in the meantime, Sarah is over in Pennsylvania saying that the school board in Pennsylvania, the state of Pennsylvania, is doing a nanny state thing by telling the little kiddies they can't eat cookies. The state of Pennsylvania, the school officials say that's absolutely dead wrong. All administrators are doing is trying to find ways to encourage schools to serve more nutritious food. Well, I have an idea of what Sarah Palin should do next. I'll share it with you when we come back.
Every otter with tons of oil in the water. Put that former beauty queen in a Hummer limousine. Add some Vaseline and send in the Marines. I'm thinking about nailing Sarah Palin with her leather leggings flailing. I've been screwed by politicians, but never with my permission. And though her politics are chilling, I find her booty thrilling. I Googled her today, and I'm emailing to say I'm thinking about nailing.
Before the hour. So in this mad dash of Sarah Palin's, she doesn't want to be president. Are you kidding me? She just wants all the money she can possibly get. She wants to be a rock star. She wants to be what she knows she is right now. She is the sex object of literally millions of Republican men. The same men who lusted after seeing Clinton's genitals in a deposition or in a courtroom. You remember this back during the impeachment attempt on Clinton. One of these guys, who was it, Daryl Issa, or was it, I don't know, some one of these freaks, said he wanted to see Bill Clinton in a courtroom because the trailer park, what was the trailer park girl's name that accused him? Paula Jones. Paula Jones said, well, his thing is different. It look, you know, his markings on it. Now, if you're getting offended right now, I don't care. This was all over there. This was Kenneth Starr's report. This is what the Republicans dumped into public discourse. So spare me. Don't send me an email about, oh, you're shocked. The hell you're shocked. So remember, all those Republicans who wanted to see Bill Clinton's penis in a courtroom because Paula Jones said, well, it's got markings. I don't know. Remember? You don't remember that? Yes, you do. Well, these same Republican males now, they want to see a naked Sarah Palin. As they wanted Bill Clinton's penis, they want Sarah Palin's vagina. This is what they're about. Are you kidding me? And with the right amount of money, Sarah Palin will give them what they want in the pages of Playboy or Penthouse or wherever. You know that's going to happen. You know that's going to happen because Sarah Palin has a price for everything. Everything has a price. It's just a matter of getting to the price. Now, Sarah Palin showed up at a school that is trying, a whole education system in Pennsylvania, and I believe it's a private school, trying to undermine efforts to assist kids and parents in nutritional guidelines in the school system. And she immediately did her Sarah Palin thing of ripping it to pieces while the crowd listening went, ha, ha, that's right. Can we see you naked? Ha, 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 ha. Get rid of the, they want to get rid of cookies, Sarah. Cookies. Oh, boy. Can you imagine? That goddamn Kenyan wants to get rid of the cookies, right? And the state of Pennsylvania says, no, that's not the case at all. We're just trying to. Well, I have a suggestion for Sarah Palin. Why don't you do this? Why don't you go get yourself, I don't know, 100 cartons of unfiltered Camel cigarettes before they change the labels, sweetie. Go get 100 cartons of Camel cigarettes. And then I want you to go to a VA hospital. Go into the cancer ward. I mean, after all, Sarah, it is Veterans Day, right? Go to the VA hospital, where you have all sorts of veterans in there dying slowly and painfully of lung cancer. Go to each bed and give each dying veteran a carton of cigarettes. and look them in the eye and say to them, can you believe that the nanny state now wants to put graphic warnings on cigarettes? Everybody knows cigarette smoking is a choice. Who's supposed to tell you not to smoke cigarettes, huh? The federal government? Who's supposed to tell you not to eat cookies, huh? The federal government? Who's supposed to tell you not to put alcohol and caffeine together in the same drinks out to kids, huh? Ha, ha, here, soldier, here, sailor, here, marine, ha, ha, here, here. You know the guy backed up in Alaska to be the senator? He was a former serviceman, too. Here, have a carton of cigarettes. And the veteran lying in the bed removes his tracheostomy tube, puts his finger over the little plastic thing inserted in his throat and says,
thanks, Sarah. You know, I'd vote for you for president.
Well, thank you, sweetie. Here's your carton of cigarettes.
Oh, but I have one request.
What's that?
Will you show it to me?
Show what?
Look, I'm a dying soldier, right? You brought me cigarettes, right?
Yes, yes. I don't think anybody should tell you whether you should smoke or not smoke.
Well, have you been offered a chance to appear in Playboy or Penthouse? Yeah, well, Penthouse is gone, but Hustler...
Would you like a tissue? No, soldier, they haven't offered it to me yet.
Well, if they do, the dying wish of a soldier, would you do that?
If the price is right, sweetie. Now, I have to move on. Here's your carton of Camels. You have a nice day, okay? I've got some booze to deliver downstairs in the maternity ward. So if you don't mind, goodbye, soldier. Goodbye. Sarah then goes out to her vehicle and gets one of those dolly hand dollies and rolls in, maybe 20 or 30 cases of Courvoisier and heads immediately to the veterans, the female veterans who are pregnant, goes to their ward. Hi, girls! Do you know? Do you see these labels on the bottles of Courvoisier? Pregnant women, can you believe this nanny state? Huh? Here, girls, let's have a drink. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.